I'm going to be very direct when I say this. My computer is currently being pushed to the breaking point, like to the limit that I can push it. And the reason being is because I have a video uploading currently. It is entirely in 4K, and it is very, very, I don't know how to explain it. It's a big video. As in, it's 8 minutes long, granted, but it's the highest quality that I could possibly get it, okay? My computer is struggling to upload it. It's been 24 hours, and every hour, the video gets uploaded by 1%. That's not an exaggeration. It's been 24 hours, it's at 24%. There's no other explanation, right? I haven't been able to upload anything else, really. But, you know, luckily, it's finally being uploaded, right? Welcome back to Meet Weed Podcast, where I was just reminded of something. A lot of men, myself included, we don't know why. It's just such a big deal that we know a lot about ancient Rome for some reason. We could talk about it forever. But one thing that's neglected often is gladiators. Gladiatorial fights. And the weird stuff that gladiators did. Honestly, it's such an interesting topic for a man. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's just, I like talking about it. I wanted an excuse to talk about it because I know so much about this topic and yet I'm not allowed to talk about it. I'm living a man's dream. That's kind of why I'm so excited. Anyway. I mentioned last week that there was a special announcement I had for this week. In fact, it was kind of pushed around. More on that later, though. Okay? For now, let's talk about gladiatorial fights, because I keep learning more and more about them. Against my will, but a pleasant surprise, really. Because the thing is, who doesn't like a good gladiatorial fight? The first thing that a lot of people get wrong, which I'd like to clarify right now, is if you think that gladiators fought to the death every single time, that's just not the case. The thing is, gladiators were on par with NFL players today. In fact, I would go as far as to say they were more highly regarded back then. Because there was far less of them, they were incredibly expensive to train, so why kill something so expensive, right? Which is a horrible way to put it, but keep in mind, this is in the context of back then. These people were not slaves, you know, they chose this life, they wanted to be the very best, they wanted to have the notoriety of everyone around them, they wanted the respect of every single person, so of course they fought as hard as they could, they trained as good as they could. Of course they're not just going to die on the battlefield, right? There was a chance they could. Granted, it didn't happen every time. But when it did happen, it was a tragedy. Because all of that work, you know, down the drain. Having said that, gladiators, they often would fight. And when they got to the point where the person was seriously injured, they would just stop there. It would be like, okay, the other guy's the winner. Perfect. There was also a lot of issues with gladiator fights where The way I could put it is, there was a guy, what's his name? I'm all over the place, okay? This is why it takes so much time to record these episodes. My mind is everywhere because I know so much about it and I immediately, I couldn't focus in on one topic. I wanted to say everything at once. This is what happens when your brain's working 100% of the time, you know, 100%. 100 maximum. I don't know what I'm saying. There's a thing about gladiators that I've noticed in my research, and that is that it's very unusual, but I guess normal back then, that their sweat was an aphrodisiac. Okay. I mean, I've heard eating oysters does the same thing. By the way, oysters have always been a popular dish. It's really weird. If you look into the history of it, back then they were eating it and there was, there was a shortage, you know? Discussing the positives of the gladiatorial history, it's one thing to discuss the positives, right? But let's go into the more realistic side, because there's one thing you guys know about me, and that is that I love animals. And one thing that I don't approve of, which it doesn't matter if I approve of or not, it's way too late to do anything about it, because, you know, gladiators, I would have never even been alive to see one. Like, I could have been 60, I could be 65, and obviously I would never have seen one. The treatment of animals back then was harsh. Very harsh. In fact, there was a lot of people that that watched these things, right? Where there was no other source of entertainment. So you would watch a lion fight a person, and either the lion won or the person won. Either way, someone was going to die. In those scenarios, that's where it's really different, right? If there's a gladiator and he's going to fight an animal, chances are the gladiator wasn't the type of gladiator that chose that life. There were some people that would go into the gladiatorial battle and they would fight knowing that there was a 97% chance they would die. The thing is, this is also a form of public execution, right? The way it worked, at least for some of these, where you would have the prisoner tied up and an animal would be introduced to the ring that had been previously starved. Animals are naturally docile. You guys don't understand. They're territorial, sure, but we're talking about all kinds. All kinds. Lions, bears, elephants, rhinos, anything they could get their hands on, they would fight and mistreat. Which, granted, back then was like the spectacle. It was the norm back then. But those poor animals, man. You know? And again, we're not talking about, you know, just kind of mistreating them. This is like circus-level cruelty, which is putting it lightly. In fact, gladiatorial cruelty was far worse because you'd have to quote-unquote break the animal's spirit. And I'm saying this quoting Salmonella because there was actually a gladiatorial fight reported that went incredibly south because there was a bunch of people fighting an elephant. The thing is, the elephant had previously not been quote-unquote broken. There's a thing you're supposed to do to elephants, which this is a sad part, okay? The elephants are supposed to be starved, whipped, beat. It's like really torn down to the point where they're just angry, you know? Animals don't naturally do that unless they're put in a very stressful situation. The elephant had not had that previously done, and in fact, it was reported that the elephant even cried for help to the audience. Which, wow, you know? We're discussing gladiatorial fights in this way, okay? The reason I brought that up is because it wasn't all glory, it wasn't all battles, it wasn't all sunshine. It was blood, and it was cruelty, and it was a spectacle. There was not much else to do back then, and my God, it is not more prevalent than discussing the way they treated animals. Hell, they treated each other like shit. And again, we're talking about... It's hard to put it. I mean, imagine the U.S. Army just being called into an NFL stadium and two guys are pinned against each other with a pistol. You know? Like, would it get views? Yes. Would someone get hurt and die? Yes. That's the level of comparison that I could think of. Because these were people that were very important back then, okay? They even had little toys made of them. Very crudely made toys. For the kids, you know? Something for the kids. Animal cruelty aside, there was another thing that they did, which I actually found very interesting, because the thing is, it's not all doom and gloom. Sometimes it's actually quite insane. For example, they had naval ships in water, like in the Colosseum. I don't know how they did it. A very complex water system would fill up the Colosseum with water, so boats would be able to fight each other. That is insane. That is incredible. Not only that, apparently it was big enough to fit a small fleet, and they would all be fighting each other, and of course, there were some techniques, right, where people would sneak to the edge of the stadium, letting others fight, because the thing is, if you were in the middle of the stadium, you were a target for everyone around you. It was every man for themselves, and of course, the one thing you didn't want to be was in the target of every single person around you, right? You'd be a sinking ship within seconds. Of course, that technique's kind of, I wouldn't say it was frowned upon. It seems more common, you know. First off, get out of the limelight, go to the edge, and then wait for everyone else to fight. And once the crowd narrows down a bit, rush in and go for the W. Which, apparently was a common tactic, and it worked pretty well. Not only that, I thought it was funny because the way they clean up the Colosseum is, it's basically a giant toilet. Like... It's funny to me because it's like, did anyone think of, I don't know, did anyone think about the implications of where it would end up? Because the thing is, the water would just go back into like the riverways and like it would just go downstream. They would apparently get big chunks of the ship out and the rest was just, you know, goodbye. That's funny. Imagine a... Okay. I know we're talking about gladiatorial battles, coliseums and so forth, but did anyone think about how funny it would look to have a giant toilet with sinking logs? The imagery there is just profound. It's just weird. It's funny to me, right? Because imagine them drawing this up, and essentially what they've drawn is a modern rendition of a toilet. And the funniest part for me is that back then they didn't have toilets, right? They had these big holes. They'd wipe their butt with a sponge on a stick, and oh my god, it's just funny to me because they didn't think, hey, years later they're gonna make, you know, toilets that look like this. Like, obviously they weren't gonna think that, right? How could they have known? How would they ever have known? That's what makes it even more funny to me. Ooh, my stomach. I don't know what that was. I think a little burp. Anyway, there's another part of the Colosseum that many people didn't know about, which is there was a lot of rigged matches. Like, there were types of weapons that, because of how heavy they were, or because of the armor they came with, you'd be significantly slower than your opponent. And the point at that point is, you know, outlast them, because they're going to get tired swinging the sword around, carrying all that heavy armor. And after that, you're good. You know, you won. But it's kind of messed up how often this happened. Like, okay, not too often, but it really just depends on who was fighting. And it does seem like there was a certain type of person that would have to be fighting in order to rig the match. For example, there were some emperors that would actually fight in the Colosseum, right? Or people of importance. There was only, from what I've seen, one main emperor that would do that. He would rig the match so he'd always win. The problem is, I don't know, like, it seems less honorable that way, you know? But at the end of the day, he was seen as quite the emperor, because he would actually fight in the Colosseum, and he'd be part of the spectacle. That, of course, would put him in the limelight. We already know this nowadays, right? Where it's like, you win the good graces, the good favors of the common people, and you look good doing it, right? Man, you know what? I was mentioning that, and I just thought of something. The whole Mr. Beast situation is crazy, right? You guys heard of that? Like, I don't know what happened exactly. I'm not too familiar with the controversy, but I've been hearing a lot of stuff going on with Mr. Beast. I don't know what happened. And it's just weird to me, because I remember seeing him from day one when he was doing Orbeez in his bathtub. And now here he is doing all kinds of wild shit. It cost millions upon millions of dollars to make his videos now. And back then, all he did was buy some Orbeez on Amazon, you know? How the mighty have fallen, question mark? I don't know. I just, you never know with these things, right? I don't know whose side to pick, because I don't even know what's going on. Like, I hear this and I just think, so what happened? You know, what's the problem here? What's going on? But at the same time, the issue I have is, whenever controversial issues happen, everyone has their side and everyone has a different story. And they often counteract. So that's why, this is why I've mentioned in the past in the podcast, I don't want to do that, right? Like, I don't want to be part of the controversy. I don't want to bring it up. That's not the vibe that I bring to the function, okay? I want to have good vibes, okay? And here's the thing. Sometimes I need a bit of help getting good vibes. And that's where Magic Mind comes in. That's right, Magic Mind. You guys remember, right? If you've heard the podcast in the past, Magic Mind has worked with us before. You want to know why I keep coming back to Magic Mind? Because it works. It's a mental performance shot. If I'm ever in a rut, I start taking Magic Mind, and you know what? Within 3 days, bam, all of my energy, all of my creative juices flowing start coming back. You know why? It's got lion's mane. Lion's mane, I used to take supplements for lion's mane, right? Because it really does help. And with Magic Mind, I no longer have to take those supplements. I just take this tasty little energy shot, and I'm good to go. You guys know I'm a California boy, right? Well, the thing is, every single mushroom that goes into this thing is grown in California. That's basically my backyard, man. You know what? Let's take a shot right now. I'll just bring the mic up to my mouth. That's nice. I like it because it's a subtle sweetness, right? It's not like other supplements where you take it and it's like really bitter or it's like a handful of pills. No, this is just a little 1 ounce shot and that's all you need. It's really, look, I'm vouching for Magic Mind. They're the only sponsors I've had in the podcast. You know why? Because they're the only ones I actually use all the time. Seriously, I'm telling you right now, get some, use my promo code in the description or go to magicmind.com/wheat20. Or use my promo code WHEAT20. I recommend the subscription so you can get 48% off. And if you want a one-time purchase, that's fine too. You can get 20% off of that. Just use the promo code WHEAT20 at checkout. I want to thank Magic Mind for reaching out to me again. I really love working with them. Also, the other day, I actually saw some Magic Mind at Sprouts. I was there the other day, right? They opened one up near me. And I'm just, you know, good job, guys. You guys are in stores. Nice. Thank you again to Magic Mind. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have... Oh, whoops. Okay. Hey. Just... Does anyone know how to get acrylic out of a carpet? I just dropped some. Oh, I just got some, too. Oh, wait. Hang on. Before I start cleaning up this mess, I got something the other day in the mail, and I'm really excited to use it. You guys know I've been painting, right? Okay. Well, since I sold my first painting, I decided to upgrade a bit with the paints that I use. So I got some Liquitex Heavy Body, which if you guys don't know, is like the standard for like professional artwork. And my God, is it expensive, actually really expensive. I don't know why it costs so much. It's six tubes, right? Six tubes of paint, $50, man. That's a lot. That's a lot of paint. Like that's a lot of money per paint per, wow, my voice is breaking. Man, I don't know why I'm doing Oh, man. I'm just excited to use it because I've always seen it at the art stores. Like, whenever I go in, I'm just, I'll go to, like, the professional section where everything's, like, way more expensive. And I'll just look at it and I'll think, I'll get you one day. And now here it is in my house and I'm really excited to see it. Heavy body acrylic. It really is heavy, too. Like, this tiny box is actually pretty hefty weight-wise. I don't know if they mean literally heavy or if I'm just some sort of placebo effect. Probably a placebo effect. You know what? Let's get the scale. All right, I have a bathroom scale here. One sec. And it's not registering. You know what? Nothing like being in the middle of the recording and realizing that that scale's broken. Whoops. Yeah, that's why I bought another one. What am I doing? Hang on. I have another scale. All right, I brought it in. One second. And it's still not registering. Also, it's in kilograms. What a day. It's really hard to weigh these. I will never know if heavy body acrylic is literal. But I'm just going to say it is. Feels kind of hefty. I just don't know what level of heft. How much do they weigh? The world may never know. Returning back to the topic of gladiatorial fights. I like how everyone occasionally forgets and then remembers stuff from said time period. And by forget and remember, I mean it's never fully in the spotlight all the time, right? We go through brief periods where people really, really want to look into the history. For example, when people watch the the movie Gladiator. It brought a lot of people's eyes to the Colosseum and all the antics that they had during that. And people were really excited, you know? It also brought up the debate when Joaquin Phoenix stands up and he has his thumb and he's going thumbs up or thumbs down, right? Weirdly enough, I think this is a rumor, right? I'm very out loud publicly saying this. I think this is a rumor. But I remember hearing that the thumbs up and down was never clear as to which was the positive one. And I don't know. I mean, it's just inherent, right? A thumbs up just feels more positive, right? Feels like, you know, good job. You know, that's what it feels like. Who doesn't like seeing a good thumbs up? You know what I mean? I love it. I know you guys do. Positive vibes and all that. But, I don't know. It's never really been clearly dictated that this one is the positive and this one is a negative. Then again, humans use context clues all the time. And I guess in this regard, we can use one, right? Huh. Sorry, something just caught my eye. There has been a weird issue in my house. There's a door latch that's not closing. my front door just opened itself. That's unsettling to say the least. I'm back here on my own recording. I gotta get that fixed. Hey, I brought up something that... No, I didn't bring up something. What? Let me start over. I mentioned earlier my YouTube upload was taking forever, and it's been a long time, right? Like, it's taking literal hours. Like a long, long time to upload. Well, I might have had an issue with my iPad, where the iPad was taking up more bandwidth than my MacBook. So I disconnected it from the Wi-Fi and immediately started uploading faster. So, rookie mistake. I'm sorry. Granted, it's still going to take a long time. I'm not saying that it's the sole reason that the videos take forever to upload. It's just, it takes forever to upload a 4K video. And I don't even know if I want to make the other one a 4K video, okay? Like, no one acknowledged the level of quality that the video had, right? It's just, it is what it is. No one's going to look at something that's in 1080p and go, that's an inferior video. No one's going to say that, man. Like, I hope not, right? How anal you got to be about a YouTube upload being one tier higher, right? I don't know. It's been a long process uploading a video. It's nice. I like uploading YouTube videos, okay? And there is a part in the video that I debated on keeping in or not. But having said that, if you're in California, you're kind of familiar with it already. So there's nothing new. I do want to give some sort of, I don't want to bring this up. In the video, I ate something that was very different than what I normally eat because I don't think anyone's ever eaten shark before. I ate shark nuggets specifically, little nuggets of shark that were deep fried, and they were okay. Actually, they were better than the fish that I ate. I liked it. I liked it a lot. In fact, I recommend it if you're ever at, do I want to give away that part? Never mind. Sorry. Look, you just got to watch the video when it comes out. I don't want to spoil it. It's really hard not to. What's really funny is when this episode comes up, I'm pretty sure the video is going to come out anyway. That's what happens when you have everything all mixed up. It's a weird day. Also, my, Wait. Last week, I mentioned I got a new chair. My old one's still here. Does anyone know how to dispose of a chair? Please let me know. They're really hard to break. Like, I don't know how to put this, right? I wasn't light. I got a screwdriver. I tried to unbolt everything. And yet, it's still a big chair. This chair does not want to disappear. And I guess it's part of the family history. I don't know. We have to get hand-me-downs. I have something to bring up that has been a light obsession of mine. It's one of those things where you don't know why you're so into it, but you just know that you are. You know what I mean? I hope that doesn't sound crazy. But there have been these slideshows on TikTok and on Instagram. Any social media platform you fancy, there are sometimes these slideshows where you have very ominous signs, ominous warning signs, and they have very specific things to watch out for. I'm weirdly interested in these, right? And whether or not they're actually real, it's just, there's something about them. It's almost in the term of like liminality, where like, you now know that there's a threat present, so it automatically gives you like a perspective, like, okay, what are we watching out for? And the sign will specify it's something way more ominous. I'm looking at some here. In fact, we're going to look through some. There's one here. It says, have you checked all gates, racks, and locks before you leave? Do you know where the bears are? Obviously, I read it and I think this is probably some sort of zoo, right? It's got to be. Now, I'm going to go with that first theory and say this is from a zoo. And the metal bars are way more ominous. This one, I've seen it before. There's another one. It says, dismount now. Do not ride over the next cliff. 200-foot cliff. Riders have died here. The riders just like you. And it's for a bicycle trail. I used to go off-road biking. These signs are way too small, by the way. Because if there is some sort of an ominous path, or there's a path where you really should get off the bike and just walk it, warn me. For God's sake, don't have a tiny little sign that's like, 1 foot across, it says, dismount now. No, that has to be shouted in my face. Get off the bike! You know, that's what you should be doing. Hell, hire a guy to stand out there for 24 hours a day. That would suck as a job. Never mind. Anyway, next one. Warning, do not allow water to enter your nose. Naegleria fowleri, an amoeba common to thermal pools, may enter, causing a rare infection and death. I've actually heard of that one. It is horrifying. That's why I don't go swimming in natural bodies of water anymore. Whether or not they're clean. Okay. Look, as a child, I've had an experience with this river, right? Everyone was swimming there. It was a natural body of water. But further down the stream, we found something in the water and it shook us to our core. Someone had disposed of garbage just above, like, upstream. We were swimming in garbage water. And I say garbage lightly as a blanket term. I do not want to say what biological material was in the water, but we should not have been swimming in there. And I'm pretty sure that's not how you dispose of cattle. Yes, I said it. I am so sorry for the image. I'm even more sorry to the people that were in the water swimming with us. I had a hell of a childhood. I'll be blunt. Anyway, let's read on. Some more signs. Sorry about that. I clicked the audio by accident. Let's see. Caution. Steep sections ahead. Stay on trail. Those are the, like, there are these bike trails when you're doing off-road biking that are very dangerous. But the more dangerous they are, the more enticing they are. There's something about the risk of death that makes you feel more alive. You want to know how I know this? Because I've had bumps, scrapes, bruises, all kinds of stuff. Things I thought I would get up and have broken bones and I would have to be crawling back. But I came back to it. You know, I got up and I just kept going. For those of you who don't know, I don't know if I ever mentioned this in the podcast. When I was younger, I mean way younger, right? I really liked getting my bike and going off-road. It was not an off-road bike. I was a kid at the time. Not even a teenager yet. Yeah, not even a teenager yet. 12, 11 years old, I thought I would do BMX. And that did not occur because, I don't know, it's just it's something about it. I forget what happened. I just really like taking my bike where it should not have gone. Okay, I'm looking at another sign. This one's way more ominous as somebody who likes to go fishing on occasion. Warning, Sudbury River fish. Fish contaminated with mercury, do not eat. And it's written in every language. Contaminated with mercury. The worst part is I know for a fact that that fish is sweet. Mercury is sweet. I don't know if you guys knew that. Don't eat mercury, for the love of God. Don't have that image in your head. I'm saying this as bluntly and plainly as possible. I'm reading these signs, and it's just, they just get so interesting. I don't know what it is about them. Like this one here. Warning, you are no longer trespassing. You are a target. That feels more like an edgy Facebook post to me. Let's keep going on. Ooh, this is a long one. Warning, all fish from this body of water contain contaminants at levels thought to increase the risk of cancer or other serious illness in humans. These fish should not be eaten by children, pregnant or nursing women. All others should limit consumption to one meal per month. Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation. I know what that is. Basically, you get enough pollutants in the water and all the live living things inside of it will unfortunately also have that in their DNA. You know, fish will eat whatever's there. And whatever fish, whatever they digest goes into the meat. Like almost immediately. I'm not talking about just little chemicals, right? I'm talking about like earlier. Mercury. There are different types of fish as well. For example, if you have catfish, you guys already know, at least most of you do, that catfish can get pretty big. The reason being is because catfish eat everything. Anything that hits the bottom of the water, they'll scoop it up. They are bottom feeders, so they'll eat everything. And they get pretty big, and all of that meat, you know, on their bones, that comes from them digesting all kinds of stuff that they really probably shouldn't be eating. But they're fish. Please tell a fish of its dietary habits. Can you not do that? Can you change the dietary habits of an animal? I don't think so. You can try, but if you're going to try, at least record it. Ooh, I've seen this one. Extreme danger, beware. Fast rising tides, quicksands, and hidden channels. In an emergency, dial 999. Siren warns of incoming tide. These are interesting. Have you ever actually been in quicksand by the beach? Quicksand by the beach is a different level of threat because if you're stuck there, the water does rise really quickly. Especially if you're nearing the end of the day. Get out of the ocean, like tide pools and everything. Tide pools carry a danger that most people don't realize. It's just such diverse life. I don't know, some of go outside is what I'm saying. You know, go out and enjoy life. Oh, I've never done this one, though. Or I've never done these. I've never gone skiing before. I almost went with my buddy Nick once. It's just some things got in the way. And, man, it really sucks. I still think about how a flood affected my work schedule, and I basically lost all my money. Thanks. Anyway, the sign. Danger, you are leaving the ski resort. You can die. This is your decision. A big yellow danger sign. That is what I'm talking about. It's a big sign. Well, that's a weird thing. Huh? Danger, water levels... Wow. Okay, let me try that again. Danger, water level rises suddenly with extreme turbulence. When sirens sound, exit the river immediately. My throat hurts. Did you guys hear that? It's a thing called Scary Signs Part 2, a post by Weirdcore on Instagram. On TikTok, I had a whole bunch of different ones. There was one that I really liked, but it turns out it was an SCP thing, which if you guys don't know, is some sort of an online horror thing. And it wasn't real, like, at all. But it's very interesting seeing it, because it says, warning, deja vu area. This is your first time being here. If you remember being here before, please notify authorities. And it's that's when you read that, you think, oh, something's going wrong. Oh, look at the time. That's going to do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. I do thank Magic Mind for reaching out to us and, you know, giving us that promo code. I really appreciate it. And I appreciate everyone who's been looking at my art on Instagram. And I'm just so excited that I made my first sale. You know, I'm really, really excited. In fact, I got so excited, I got some Liquitex Professional paint. And if you guys don't know, that's like the gold standard. Really excited, and I got a new canvas, a much bigger canvas, and I'm really excited to start on a project on that one. I had to cut off the mic, I just burped really loudly, I do apologize, I've been drinking Olipop as well. My stomach is bubbling. Anyway, I'll see you guys next week.